To ask Debbie earlier if she had something to share, and she doesn't, but we look forward to when she does. Amen. Always blesses me. And that Christmas poem, I love that poem. It's just amazing. And we'll probably slip it in somewhere in July. Does anyone have anything you'd like to share with the church? Any testimony, or you just want to say something? Sister Watson.
I want to praise the Lord for keeping me, keeping his hand upon me. And I know he's got a purpose for me being here. I don't see it. And I'd like to know what it is, but that's up to him. But I was told I was dead at one time sitting here. God brought me back. And I was told that 91-year-old people that went in the hospital with pneumonia didn't come out. Accepted a coffee, and God has brought me through again, and I love him, I praise him, and I'll do what I can, and hope and pray I'm satisfying him.
You are a treasure for our church. We might be a little selfish in not letting you go because we love you so much and appreciate your inspiration. But we're thankful. Lord has a purpose, Sister Watson. And I believe in not too long a time, he'll show you what that is. And we appreciate each and every one. When I pray for everybody on my prayer list, I pray, number one, for saving knowledge of Christ, because not everyone I pray for is a Christian. Now, all of us, we've been a Christian for a long time. And then I pray for divine health. Health is good, as my brother Lundquist, that I grew up in the church where he took the offering and gave out and distributed the communion, and he would always say, health is wealth, health is wealth. He was a much older gentleman than most in the church, but he walked miles a day, and he had that health. And I think it's a divine health when you do what you can, and then the Lord steps in and helps you. And I also pray for divine provision, because I believe that's God's hand upon our finances. So that's three things that we pray for every day. And God is merciful. Amen? Anyone else have anything you want to share? Sister Sharon. Well, that's pretty quick revelation of why you're here. Thank you so much. And as Sister Sharon was talking about her mom, I remember a time where I was so mad and frustrated with the church. And it was just before Brother and Sister Watson came. And Sister Lyle came and sat down where I was praying, and she said, you've got to stop. I said, what? She said, you've got to stop taking on all of this, and you can't do anything about it. You just got to let the Lord do it. And boy, was she right. And the Lord blessed us with Brother and Sister Watson pastoring the church a second time. And what a blessing that was. Brother and Sister Watson pastored here when Debbie and her age group were Teresa, Becky, Sharon, when they were teenagers. And they came back when our children were teenagers. Isn't that amazing? So they really met with several generations, and we appreciate that. We appreciate the legacy of this church and of the people who have been in this church and served here. If you want to be encouraged, just remember some of those people that was leaders in this church, mighty people that serve God. Amen. And they bring encouragement. Anyone else? I don't want to. I don't want anyone to say, well, you didn't let me talk. I want to let you talk. All right, then, I'm going to talk. Uh-oh. That's all right. I didn't tell you. I'm gonna attempt something. All right, I think I'm there. Do I have sound here? Thank you, Audrey, I appreciate it. I'm gonna minister this morning on Please Forgive Me, and it's we're out of the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. I'm sorry I didn't have this set up better, but I thought I was quicker. Evidently, I'm not. But I want you to hear the first part of this song.
My heart is full of sorrow. My sleep is gone. My heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. So please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. And Lord, I'll serve you until my dying
good. That's what I wanted to get across, is this song, and I ran onto it a while back, and I think it's an amazing song of where we are, having been forgiven. I want to read you a story out of the Bible that Jesus told. Peter asked a question. Peter's question was, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. How many times can he sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? I think Peter was feeling generous. I really do. I think he was feeling generous. Oh, yeah. I think I can handle seven times. And Jesus said unto him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. If you do the math, that's 490. But Jesus wasn't trying to do a formula. He was saying, Peter, as long as they're asking, you forgive. As long as they're asking, you forgive. Let's pray. Lord, I pray blessing and strength for your people today. Let your word be anointed, and let us be blessed by your presence and your power. We honor and give you glory. Amen. Amen. So Jesus said, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. So how much is 10,000 talents? If it's in gold, it's $4 billion. If it's silver, it's only 80 million. What a deal. But this was big, big, big debt. Almost unimaginable and almost impossible for anybody to pay. This guy must have been pretty high up to be able to borrow that kind of money, but he owed 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and that all that he had, and that payment be made. It's very, very unlikely that everything this man had and everything that he could even make forever would pay off that kind of debt. In 1995, the average lifetime income for people was about $1.5 million. It's probably up a bit today. And if you're in this valley, it could be way up, because there's people that make a lot of money here. That helps the average. There's a lot of us that work for quite a bit less, but those billionaires bring our average up. But you can see that if you had a whole lifetime of income, you may not be able to come up with $4 billion. So everything that he had probably wouldn't have worked. The servant therefore fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. It seems like this was, I'll do everything I can, even though it was a big job and maybe impossible. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. How would you feel if you owed millions of dollars and someone said, just forget about it, don't worry, I release you, I forgive you the debt? And remember, this is very much representing our sin that we really have no way of paying. Jesus came to die so that we could have a deliverance from a debt that we could not pay. He paid the debt for us. And now we sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, because Jesus paid a debt I could not pay. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." This amount of money is equivalent to about $300. He's just been forgiven somewhere between $80 million and $4 billion, and he grabs this servant of his by the throat and he says, you got to pay me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me." Does this sound familiar? "And I will pay you all." You know what the difference is between the two servants? The one that owed $300 could have probably paid it if he had the time. The other guy probably never could pay it. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison that he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master. That's the big guy that forgave the big debt. What all that had been done. Now these servants, these fellow servants, were not angry. I think I get a little angry at this story. What in the world is this guy thinking? Shown such mercy and not willing to share it. But when they came and they were grieved because they felt injustice. How many get strong feelings about justice? You want to put on the mask like Zorro and go out and slash a few bad guys, right? Zorro was pretty good. I think he pretty much just wounded a few people. He was a good Samaritan, and did good work, like the Lone Ranger. All of these cowboy heroes, they were good. But this was an injustice. This was something that it was inconceivable. Then his master, in verse 32, says, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will do to each of you from his heart. Let me read that again. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now we've got a bunch of lessons in this story. One of the great lessons that we have is that the Father is so merciful. When this man came with a debt that was so big, so vast, so unpayable, so unthinkable, like our sins, what can we do? Well, I'll straighten up and fly right. That won't cut it. Well, I'll start a New Year's resolution. I'll do much better. I'll change my whole life. I'll help other people. I'll do this or that. You cannot do anything to gain forgiveness of the sin debt. The only one that can is Jesus, and only his blood can cover. And only what he did on the cross can release us, sanctify us, justify us, and help us to be headed to heaven with hope beyond this world for eternity with the Lord. God was not angry because this man had sinned and because he had run up such a debt. He was very willing to forgive him. Where God gets upset is that when we've been forgiven and we don't turn that forgiveness around. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not preaching to anybody this morning, because the basis of this message to me is that we have a Father that every time we come to Him is willing to forgive. He is so willing to forgive. But he also taught us that just as we've been the recipient of unlimited forgiveness, then so must we absolutely be willing to forgive others. And if we forgive others, we set ourselves up for the next time we need to be forgiven. So this is a great debt, $4 million, $4 billion, $80 million, compared to $300. But God will always bring justice to every situation. God was, again, not angry at the original sin. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to take care of that sin. But God doesn't do well with unforgiveness in our hearts. We who have been forgiven, we must turn around and show forgiveness to others. When we come before God, the next time that you repent, God's going to look at you like this is the first time you've ever sinned. You said, what in the world do you mean? What I mean is, he's forgiven us and it's gone and it's erased and it's covered. And as far as the east is from the west, God said our sin would be like a cloud and even be cast into the bottom of the sea. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34 says, and this is prophecy of the millennial time. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. When we come to Jesus and we say, Lord, please forgive me, it's gone. The sin is gone. It's erased. In this that I played for you, at a certain point, Jimmy Swaggart comes to the pulpit and he says to Randy, sing the second verse again. And he said, don't anybody think that you've been forgiven and you've never sinned again or never needed forgiveness again. He said, if you do, that's a lie. He said, we've all sinned and failed God, and we must come before the Lord for forgiveness. And when we do, it'll be again, like I said, the very first time, because God forgets when he forgives. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'm going to forgive you, but I won't forget? That kind of worries me a little bit. I probably have said that myself. But that's a human way of handling it. But forgiveness that the Lord gives us is he forgets it and he lets it go. It's in the past. Psalms 103 and 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so has removed our transgressions from us. I don't know where east and west here. We used to pray in the church and look to the, is this north? Oh, west is here. Okay. Well, let's just forget. I'll get my compass out here. But as the north, if you go far enough north, you go south. If you go far enough south, you end up going north. It's like 280 and 680. That's highways here, in case you don't know. And then, but if you go east and west, you can go that direction forever and never catch up with the other. So that's what God does with sin. He casts it way away. Isaiah 38, 17, indeed it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all of my sin behind your back. The devil is not going to be able to get behind the back of our Lord. Hebrews 9 and 26 says, so then would he have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. If Jesus had repeated what the law demanded every year, he would have to go back. But the Bible tells us that he died one time for all time. He died one time for all sin. And those that come to him, you're not just covered and kicked under the rug. Your sin is gone. And the Lord doesn't want to hear about it anymore. He wants you to go forgiven. In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 12, and then verses 14 and 15, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now I feel, and I hope no one's going to be too upset, I feel like I need to go to the New Living Translation, the NLT. And verse 12 says, and forgive us our sins, because the word debt, that doesn't mean what you've run up at JCPenney's or Montgomery Ward. How many remember that long ago place? I had a Ward's card. I still may have it, but it doesn't do any good because there's no more Ward's. But that doesn't mean the debt that you've run up where you've borrowed. It means trespasses or sins. And the NLT says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And indeed, people have sinned against us. I talked to a man the other day, and he said, you can't trust people. He said, they'll turn on you in a heartbeat. I said, I understand that. People can be very corrupt. But we who have been forgiven should be the most forgiving people and try to encourage and bless and strengthen. And so verse 14 says in the NLT, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So it's real basic, isn't it? Don't you love being forgiven? Don't you love knowing that you carry no sin, no weight, no bondage? We're not slaves to the world. We're not slaves to sin. We're not slaves to the devil because he set me free. I'm not bound. He's broken every chain. Break every chain. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the mercy. Forgiveness needs an element to make it work, and that is repentance. I really gave it away. I've read this verse a number of times recently, this chapter. I'm going to read it again because I feel like it's a good education in how to. Debbie knows how to do almost everything because she's watched the how-tos. She's watched how-tos of things I never thought you'd ever. She told me yesterday about a plate. Take a clear plate and decoupage a napkin on the bottom side of it. I mean, there's just amazing things that you can learn. But let me just read to you a how-to. Repent. This is David when he had sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan the prophet came to him. David could have had Nathan beheaded, thrown in jail, but David did it differently. He said, I'm in big trouble with God. I've sinned. And he went to God. And chapter 51, verse 1 says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and sin is always before me. Verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. David's saying this about 1,000 years before Christ bled and died on Calvary. Every time we come before God and we say words similar to these, David was looking forward. David had only sacrifices. Oh, but we have Jesus. And we say in verse 9, hide your face from my sins, blot out my iniquities, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. In verses 15 through 19, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. We who have been forgiven can sing songs that the angels don't even know anything about. Why? Because we've been forgiven. Because we're free. For I do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. For you do not desire sacrifice, else I would give it. For you do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Repentance. Please forgive me. A broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness and with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. If the heart was right, then the sacrifices were okay with God. But if the heart was not, was stubborn and rebellious, then there would be no forgiveness. But today, God is hearing us when we call to him. What Randy's saying was, my sleep is gone. My heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that awaits me tomorrow when the sun reveals my broken dreams and my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Have you ever made a mistake that really, how in the world could I have done that? I remember being very angry at one point with someone that I felt like was going to hurt my family. And when I got to where the situation was unfolding, I found that that person actually was offering peace and good advice and wise counsel. And I thought, Lord, how could I have been so wrong? But we're human. And we are going to make mistakes. Sometimes we're going to read situations the wrong way. I've come to situations and the Lord's given me a couple of seconds of pause rather than jumping right in. And I found out that instead of forcing something, that the Lord was working something else out. And I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that when we get wrong, he can make us right. No matter what it is, we don't have to live with broken dreams scattered all over the ground. We can get forgiveness. So the chorus is, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. What I want you to understand and remember was what Jesus taught. Unlimited forgiveness for others and unlimited forgiveness from God. You can be forgiven. You can go tomorrow. You say, well, what do you mean? I said, the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our sins this day and as we forgive others who trespass. So we're forgiving all the time and we're being forgiven all the time. And I'm at your mercy. I'm so glad I'm at his mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find the way at your mercy. Please forgive me. Second verse, I can't believe the God of earth and glory would take time to care for one like me. But I read in the Bible that old story, how he pled for my forgiveness while he was dying on a tree. He is our sacrifice. He is our high priest. And he's made a way for us to live a life of forgiveness. A life to where nothing is owed, no debt is hanging over our head. He's paid it all. Amen? He's paid it all. It is amazing, marvelous, wonderful grace. He took my sin away. Sister Becky, those were good songs of the wonderful, mighty Lord that we serve. And oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he cares for us. He's done his dying for me, and all I have to do is come and say, Lord, please forgive me, and he will forgive me. Debbie, would you come to the piano? Lord Jesus, we're thankful today that it's a new day, and that we can come before you and seek your forgiving power. And Lord, to know that we're at your mercy, and your mercy is everlasting. Your grace, your mercy, everlasting. Beyond our comprehension, actually. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so that you gave your life for us. You came to this earth to give us hope, and to take our sin away and let us live in fellowship with you, to worship and to praise you, to know that we can come before your throne seeking the mercy that we need. Be with us, Lord. We're grateful. We're thankful for your great mercy. Lord, I pray that you'll touch every heart. And Lord, that every day that we come before you, that you'll draw us near to you and show us your love and forgiving power. Help us to reach to others in forgiveness. Sometimes that's hard. Lord, there's been people that we've done so much for, and they continue to use and abuse. But help us, Lord, to have the heart that you would have, and to show mercy and forgiveness. We really need you today. We really need you. We really need your touch. We need your arm around us, drawing us close to you. We honor and give you glory. Amen. Would you just go before the Lord for a few minutes and surrender? I surrender all, Lord. We pray that you'll minister right now as we lay our hearts before you. Lord, speak to us. Bring revelation of who you are. Revelation of what's just ahead of us. Thank you, Lord, that you use every one of us. We all have a purpose. And we have a calling. And we have a place in your kingdom. Be with us, O God. Sunday. Lord, in this next year, just bring the anointing more and more in our lives and use us to be a blessing and encouragement. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Holy God, holy God, holy God, holy God. Yandala la masiri ala la la di di ala la la mas. La kura malala. Yandala di di masiri atai. Mandura ala la di di ala. Kila masanda la la di 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 oro kori anda. Ila masiri ala la di di ala la di 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 ata. Mura manda riki ti ata la la di di ala. Iloro so kori anda la di 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 ata. Kila mara di 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 o kiri ala la di 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 ala. Soro kora manda la di 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 ala la sa. Ora massa ricchiria ramocora mamma marta itala la di oro così ria mandala la di ria mandala la di ria oria la la di di okiri andala la di ria. Anyone else need prayer for anything? Coria la 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 masanda. Lord, be with Dave as he ministers to the needs of his wife, Melva. We pray, Lord. Ya la 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 la. Media la 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 masa anda la di di ay for Sister Melva. Coria la di di o siria la la di. Mercy o ramaka and might, might o gara katsiki ti ata la la la. Shandoro kosikiri andai. Oh, your God, and above you there is no other, and you can do all things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Sunday. Glory. Anyone else need prayer or us to agree with you touching any matter? The Lord is able. I wish I could say 2019, you'll have no trouble. But I remember 2018, 2017, we lost family. 2016, I lost my dad. There's always something ahead, but the Lord is with you. Emmanuel, Lord, bless your people. Bless your church. We belong to you. Oh, Lord, we rejoice in that we're the forgiven ones. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting us live in this blessed estate. Oh, the bliss of the glorious thought. That my sin, not in part, but the whole, Lord, is gone through your precious blood. O Rama Kiriyanda, thank you. Be with us this week. Direct us. Keep us safe. Lord, protect our country during the New Year's transition. Bless your people. For the new year that is just ahead, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.